Before I begin reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, I would like first of all to chant my two favorite mantras. Trinadapi sunichena turad iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. If I want to chant the glories of Krishna, I must have the proper frame of mind. I must be lower than the straw in the street. I must be more tolerant than a tree. I must be ready to give all respects to others. Therefore, vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. And then, I should not care if I get any respect from anyone. That should not be my concern. In such a state of mind, one can chant the glories of the Lord easily. Then, what is my mantra that I live by? Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Namai Vakivalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiranyata. Now we can proceed. Currently, we have 10 devotees on the internet. Roxana in Lima, Peru. Anandini Rose, somewhere in the United States. Gopal in Los Angeles. In Calcutta, we have Rohit. And in Simi Valley, we have Santa. Let's say Hari Bol to the devotees online. Okay. So our host and GBC, Kamlesh Patel, has given me the instruction to recite and narrate the 11th canto, but this is not the Uddhava Gita. This is before the Uddhava Gita. This is the chapters where there is a conversation, first of all, between Vasudeva, the father of Krishna, and the great saint Narada Muni. And within, because Vasudeva, Krishna's father, asked Narada, please deliver me from Maya. And Narada Muni said, how can you be in Maya? You are the father of Krishna. But Vasudeva was thinking like that. He was thinking, I'm a householder, therefore I must be in Maya. And generally speaking, that's true. Even Prabhupada made a joke once like that. So, in midst of that conversation, Narada Muni told the discussion between Maharaj Nimi and the Nava Yogindras. The Nava Yogindras are sons of God. There's one religion. They like to preach that their prophet is the son of God. And they lead you to believe that they have a monopoly on that. But according to Bhagavatam, there are many incarnations of God and many sons of God. So the Nava Yogendras are 9 sannyasi sons of God in his incarnation of Rishabhadeva. Everyone say that name? So these Nava Yogendras are mystic saints. And one time they came to visit Maharaj Nimi, and he asked them questions about spiritual life. And so one after the other, each of the Nava Yogendras took a turn answering the questions of Maharaj Nimi. If you're ready to proceed with tonight's chapter, please affirm that by chanting the Maha Mantra. The chapter that Kamlesh selected is called Liberation from the Illusory Energy. The illusory energy is this material energy. And there are different parts to this chapter. The first part, the question is, what is Maya? So let's see how Antariksha, he's the one of the sons of Rishabhdev, let's see how he answers. Please listen with rapt attention. Therefore, cell phones should be turned off. Otherwise, you will not have rapt attention. This rapt attention is the secret of success. Yes, GBC? Offering should be when you start your bhajan. We have not yet. When I give you, it'll be a half an hour, you're going to chant for 1.5 hours, whenever that time is. We're off schedule. Uh-oh. Okay? So when I say it's time for you, then you tell your, whoever you have appointed, to do the offering. Okay? All right. And we'll also need a pujari for the arti and for the offering. Okay? All right. So King Nimi said, now we wish to learn about the illusory potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which bewilders even great mystics. My dear Nava Yogendras, please speak to us about this subject. Sri Antariksha said, by activating the material elements, God has sent forth all living beings in higher and lower species of life. In order that these conditioned souls can cultivate either sense gratification or ultimate liberation. So this answers the question, what is the whole purpose of this material creation? Here it is. This material creation, why has God created it? For two purposes. For those who want to forget God, who want to imitate God, who want to be the enjoyer, come to Irvine and enjoy. And then the other purpose is for you. You ultimately want to achieve liberation. If not, you wouldn't be here. The mere fact that you came here indicates that really your objective in life is liberation. Those are the two purposes. The super soul. Who is the super soul? What's his name? Krishna. The super soul enters the material bodies of the created beings, activates their mind and senses, and thus causes the conditioned souls to approach the three modes of material nature for sense gratification. The individual living being who is supposed to be the master of his or her material body uses his or her material senses, which have been activated by the super soul, to try to enjoy sense objects composed of the three modes of nature. Thus, one misidentifies the created material body with the unborn eternal self. So that is Maya. That is Maya. When one identifies that I am this body, or that I am whatever my mind tells me. And the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say? You're not your body. You're not your mind. You are the eternal spirit soul. That's the first thing Krishna hammers home in 20 verses in Bhagavad Gita when he's beginning. As I've been saying a lot lately, unless that is understood, you cannot go further. That has to be accepted, that I am not my material body, I am not my mind, I am the eternal, unborn spirit soul. Thus one becomes entangled in the illusory energy of the Lord. Impelled by deep-rooted material desires, the embodied living entity engages his or her active sense organs in fruitive activities. Fruitive activities means people do things Because they're looking for some result. They want something. You plant a tree because you want to get the fruits and flowers. Fruitive. This is Prabhupada's creation, this word fruitive. I don't think you will find this word in the dictionary. It is a Prabhupada word. Fruitive. So, by wandering throughout the world in so-called happiness and distress, the conditioned living entity is forced to experience repeated birth and death. Impelled by the reactions of one's own activities, one helplessly wanders from one inauspicious situation to another, suffering from the moment of creation until the time of cosmic annihilation. So that's Maya. To review, to summarize, Maya begins when you misidentify who you are. When you think in terms of the body, or you think in terms of your mental concoction. And conversely, you become or start to become liberated from material existence or Maya when you stop thinking in terms of the body and mind and start seeing yourself as spirit soul. And as spirit soul, the next question logically is, Ke Ami, who am I? What am I supposed to be doing as spirit soul? And that answer is given to us by Lord Chaitanya. What should a spirit soul be doing? Serving Krishna with the body, mind, and senses. Not that we negate them. Even though we don't identify with the body, mind, and senses, that doesn't mean we just neglect it. The best example I can think of, a car. You're not your car, are you? But you buy a car and then just stick it in the garage and never use it? No. You bought a car to use it. So does not Krishna say in 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Yantra Rudhani Mayaya, that you are seated as if on a machine made of material energy? So the body is like a car. Use it. But, as it was stated here, this material creation has two purposes. The body of the car is not meant for enjoying your senses. It's meant for liberation. Therefore, in the process of bhakti, you use your mind, your body, and the senses to serve God. And that is how you become liberated. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. Now we go to part two. What is material happiness? King Nimi said, O great sage, please explain how even a foolish materialist can easily cross over the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord, which is always insurmountable for those who are self-controlled. We learn the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita, a verse that I have told you hundreds of times you should memorize. 7:14. Besides 18:66, this verse 7:14 is exactly almost the same thing. Daivi hi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam turantite. Krishna says, same thing King Nimi is saying. Krishna says, this divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of nature. So that's the material nature. That's the illusory energy. He says, is very difficult to control. Here, Nimi said, insurmountable. Practically speaking, it is. So Krishna says there's only one way to cross over this insurmountable material energy. The answer? Surrender. He uses that same word, prabhadyante, a word that's used several times in Bhagavad Gita. Right? In 7:19. Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mang prapadyate. Same word. Sarvadaman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. So this process of surrender to Krishna is the only way that you will cross over. Taraha e bhava sindure in the Bengali vernacular. In my favorite bhajan. Bhaja hure mana srinandanandana. Right? Taraha e bhava sindure. So now another Navayogendra says, Sri Prabhuda said, accepting the roles of male and female in human society, the conditioned souls unite in sexual relationships. Thus they constantly make material endeavors to eliminate their unhappiness and unlimitedly increase their bliss. Yes, that's what's going on. This whole boyfriend, girlfriend, or marriage, right? It's been going on since day one. And what is the purpose? Yes, the man is thinking, I will unite with this woman and she will give me happiness. And the girl is thinking, oh yes, he looks like a very good candidate that I can train up. I have found the guy that now I can mold him to the way I like. But what does Prabhuda say? But one should see that they inevitably achieve exactly the opposite result. Just see what Prabhuda says. They inevitably achieve exactly the opposite result. They were looking for bliss. Right? The honeymoon was great. But 1 year later, 2 years later, buyer's remorse. Both sides. In other words, their happiness inevitably vanishes, and as they grow older, their material discomfort increases. Anybody like getting old? You like getting old, huh? You like waking up and, oh, nobody likes getting old. It's no fun. In fact, there's a famous saying. Some famous person in America said, getting old is not for sissies. That's a common phrase you'll hear many times now in TV, radio. Getting old is not for sissies. Why? Because getting old is one of the four miseries, right? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there are actually only four big problems. Birth, death, old age, and disease. And all four of them cost you lots of money. Having a baby is not cheap, is it? Right? Dying is not cheap. Right? Getting sick, what happens when you get sick? Pay the doctor. Right? And getting old, right? You have to do so many things, spend money. These are the four big problems of material life according to Krishna. Now listen to this, householders. Wealth is a perpetual source of distress. It is most difficult to acquire, and it is virtual death for the soul. What satisfaction does one actually gain from his or her wealth? Similarly, how can one gain ultimate or permanent happiness from one's so-called home, children, relatives, and domestic animals, which are all maintained by one's hard-earned money? This is the same thing Shukadeva Goswami said in Second Canto, the fallible soldiers. The conditioned soul thinks, my home will save me, my children will save me, my relatives will save me, my bank account will save me. But no, they're called fallible soldiers. They won't save you at the time of death. In that same song, the third verse of Bhajahure Mana, Edhana Yobana Putra Parijana Iteki Ache Paratitire. The condition, the Govinda Das is saying that I thought all these things would help me. No. Kamala Dala Jala Jivana Talamala. This material existence is tottering like a drop of water on the lotus petal. That's why Govinda Das says at the end of that verse, Bhaja hu Hari Pad Nitire. Better to worship Hari. Everybody say Hari. Now listen to this. Prabhuda says, one cannot find permanent happiness even in the heavenly planets, which one can attain in the next life by ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices. Now listen to this. Even in heaven, the living entity is disturbed by rivalry with his or her equals and envy of those superior to one. And since one's residence in heaven is finished with the exhaustion of pious activities, the denizens of heaven are afflicted by fear, anticipating the destruction of their heavenly life. So people who are karmakanda people, their goal is to go to heaven. But they're not realizing this. You think going to heaven is great? No, look at these problems. Just like you may have had the same experience. Say you go on a vacation. So the vacation is 1 week, 2 weeks, all right, 3 weeks. Right? So when the vacation starts, you're thinking, oh, this is great. I'm enjoying it. I'm in Hawaii. Everything is wonderful. But the calendar, the days start changing, and then you realize, uh-oh, I've only have 3 more days. Just like the kids, when they have summer, when I was a kid, summer vacation was 2 months. So when summer vacation started, oh, no more school. Oh, this is great. Then all of a sudden, 1 week left. What? We didn't even do anything. The summer went by, so I didn't do... 1 week left. Same way. You go on a vacation. You're in Hawaii or Fiji or Bali. Right? You're enjoying. And then all of a sudden, you look at your ticket. Oh, we got to go back tomorrow. What happened? Yes. It's just like that. This is what Prabhuda is saying. Thus, people of the heavenly planets resemble kings who, though enviously admired by ordinary citizens, are constantly harassed by enemies and who therefore never attain happiness. That's why Krishna, if you notice, what does Krishna say in chapter 8 of the Bhagavad Gita? From Lord Brahma's planet down to the lowest, all are places of misery, not sukha. No, all are places of misery where there is repeated birth and death. Welcome to the material world. Oh, Narantara, why are you so negative? No, I'm not negative. No, this is called the facts of life. When you become a young teenager, your parents sit you down for the facts of life talk. Right? Bhagavatam is the facts of life for your whole life. Bhagavatam is not politically correct. Uh-uh. Bhagavatam is not Fox Noise or CNN. No. Bhagavatam is, this is the reality. This is what's really going on in your life. Not your neighbor's life. Your life. So, facts of life, if you really want the truth, Srimad Bhagavatam. If you don't want the truth, go watch television. Go read some stupid novel. Waste your time. But if you want the truth, Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why I like Bhagavatam. When I came in touch with Prabhupada's writings, I realized, now here is somebody really telling it as it is. No mamby-pamby, mumbo-jumbo. I remember somebody gave me a pamphlet written by that 16-year-old supposed incarnation of God, Guru Maharaj-ji. So back then in the 70s, everybody was saying, oh, he's God. He's God. And I was thinking, this has got to be dumb. So my girlfriend had gotten one of his pamphlets. So I tried to read it. I was saying, this is all gobbledygook nonsense. I couldn't even, after one sentence, I said, garbage. But as soon as I read Prabhupada's book, I said, now here is the real thing. Every paragraph made sense. And then there was Prabhupada's picture on the back. He looked like this. I said, yeah, this is my guru, not some 16-year-old wannabe. Here is the real guru, because Prabhupada told you, what is the title of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita? As it is. Not according to making it cutesy. No. Bhagavad Gita as it is. The real thing. The hard, cold facts. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Part number 3. Oh, what is the bona fide guru? Question that's been being asked for the last 10,000 years. When John Lennon, the famous Beatle, asked Prabhupada, who is the bona fide guru? Prabhupada said, find that person most addicted to Krishna. That's the guru. Sri Prabhuda said, so this is continuing, Prabhuda is continuing. Therefore, any person seriously desiring real happiness must seek a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of the bona fide guru is that he has realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation, and he is able to convince others of these conclusions. So, two things. He has realized the conclusions and is able to convince others. This is what we saw with Srila Prabhupada. Time and time again. He was able to convince us Westerners. And then when Prabhupada went to India, he was convincing the Indians. Prabhupada went to Australia, convinced the Australians. He went to Africa, convinced the Africans. Prabhupada went all over the Mexicans. Prabhupada went all over the world. The recordings are there. He even was discussing with bishops and priests and cardinals. And there's that one video where the French cardinal is saying, what is wrong with eating meat? And Prabhupada was trying to explain what is wrong with eating meat. So we saw time after time, Prabhupada was, there's that one video. Prabhupada is in his garden in Los Angeles, and there's all these professors, and they're asking their questions, and Prabhupada is answering with authority. Yes, that was Prabhupada. We saw that he was able to convince others. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead. Who is the Supreme Godhead? Everybody say that name. leaving aside all material considerations, should be understood to be bona fide spiritual masters. Accepting the bona fide spiritual master as one's life and soul and worshipable deity, the disciple should learn from him the process of pure devotional service. Yes, you're not accepting a spiritual master to cure your disease. You're not going to the spiritual master to get you a better material situation. You're not going to the spiritual master just to get some ashirvad or some ash. You're going to the spiritual master to learn the process of pure devotional service. Otherwise, you're going to a so-called sadhu is simply a waste of time. You should approach a spiritual master to learn the process of pure devotional service. Everyone chant the Maha Mantra, please. Now, if he just gave the description of a bona fide guru, what do you think the next question should be? Aha! Very good. Yes, exactly. Did you read this chapter before coming? Usually he does that. He does his homework. That's actually very good that you do that. That's very good. So it's still Prabhuda. Sri Prabhuda said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, everybody say, Hari. The soul of all souls is inclined to give himself to his pure devotees. Therefore, the disciple should learn from the spiritual master how to serve the Lord without duplicity. You know what that means? No agenda. No business. You're going to approach the Lord and serve the Lord simply out of, well, first it starts from duty, the mode of goodness. Then it goes to the stage of love. Like Prahlad said to Lord Nrisimha, my Lord, you want me to take a benediction, but I'm not a vanik. You know what a vanik is, right? Baniya. No, Prahlad said, I'm not doing business with you. You are my master, I am your servant, boss, finish. Nothing else. That's the mode of goodness. From there, you can get to the stage of love. And from the stage of love, spontaneous love, raganuga. And in that raganuga, you can go to Goloka Vrindavan, Braj, and be with Krishna, and play with him, dance with him, sit with him, talk with him. In Sutton, the disciple should learn from the spiritual master how to serve the Lord without duplicity, and in such faithful and favorable way that the Lord, being satisfied, will offer himself to the faithful disciple. Just see. Krishna is prepared to give you himself. This whole week, for 2 days, I did a katha on Dhruva. Now, after Dhruva got his benediction, Dhruva got his material desire fulfilled. Lord Prishnigarbha told Dhruva, you will rule the earth for 36,000 years. Take that, Obama. You might get another 4. Dhruva ruled the earth for 36,000 years. And here's the best part. His senses remained youthful. I'm 62. I don't have youthful senses. I would give anything. You want to take my old age and give me your youth? Like Yayati? Trust me. If there was a way, there would be a million old men who would approach you. Oh, give me your youth. Trust me. When you get old, you look at these young punks and you go, oh, man. only I could steal your youth.
Yayati got that from his son, Puru. Puru agreed. So Dhruva would rule the earth for 36,000 years and his senses would remain youthful. And here's the next thing. After 36,000 years, he would get his own spiritual planet. Talk about winning the lottery. That's Dhruva. And when the time of death came for Dhruva, the Vaikuntha airplane was sent. And the two attendants told Dhruva, please, your airplane is waiting. You know how the when on the airplane? A last call for flight to Vaikuntha. So, just as Dhruva was about to get on the plane, death personified came. Dhruva said to death, oh, very good. Dhruva stepped on the head of death and boarded the Vaikuntha airplane. That's the way to do it. All right? So, even though all of this was predicted, the Lord told Dhruva at the age of 5, you will rule for 36,000 years, then you're going to get your own spiritual planet. When the Lord left, Dhruva condemned himself. Dhruva said, I'm such a fool. I worship the Lord from some paltry material position. I should have worshiped the Lord for the Lord. Dhruva condemned himself. A sincere disciple should learn to disassociate the mind from everything material and positively cultivate association with one spiritual master and other saintly devotees. That's what we're trying to do in this group. This Bhaktivedanta Yoga Samaj or Namahat, whatever you want to call it. I call it Bhaktivedanta Yoga Samaj. We're trying to link with Krishna through the teachings of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. That's what I do, folks. I don't know what you think I do, but that's what I do. My whole mission is linking with Krishna through the teachings of A.C. Bhaktivedanta. Not anybody else. The teachings of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Okay, that's a side commercial. So what are we doing? Positively cultivating association with Srila Prabhupada and other saintly devotees. Look around you. Other saint, say hello to your neighbor, saintly devotee. Hari Bol, saintly devotees. Right. Group hug. All right. One should be merciful to those in an inferior position, cultivate friendship with those on an equal level, and meekly serve those in a higher spiritual position. Thus, one should learn to deal properly with all living beings. Narada Muni told Dhruva, similar, but for Dhruva, Narada said, when you meet someone better than you, be happy. Don't be jealous. When you meet someone not as good as you, be compassionate. And when you meet someone equal to you, become their friend. Good, very good advice by Narada. Let's continue. To serve the spiritual master, the disciple should learn cleanliness. What are the two kinds of cleanliness? Internal, external. Internal, remember God. External, take a bath 2-3 times a day. Clean clothes, clean house, clean car. Clean workspace, like that. Keep yourself clean. Austerity, tolerance, silence, study of Vedic knowledge, simplicity, celibacy, nonviolence, and equanimity in the face of material dualities, such as heat and cold, happiness and distress. One should practice meditation by constantly seeing oneself to be an eternal, cognizant spirit soul. So that's our meditation. We are always meditating on the fact that we're not this body, that we are eternal spirit soul. And seeing the Lord to be the absolute controller of everything. To increase one's meditation, one should live in a secluded place and give up false attachment to one's home and household paraphernalia. In this way, one should learn to be satisfied in any material situation. When you do, those of us who have done what is called traveling sankirtan, I did that for a few years. You live in a van and you go from one city to another distributing books for Prabhupada. So every night you were in a different campground. Every night you were somewhere else. So you learned, oh, this is where Krishna has put me. So you learned that, to be satisfied in any situation, in any place. In this way, one should learn to be satisfied in any material situation. One should have firm faith that he or she will achieve all success in life by following those scriptures that describe the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. Everyone say that name? Yes. Those are the scriptures you want to study. At the same time, one should avoid blaspheming other scriptures. One should rigidly control the mind, speech, and bodily activities. Always speak the truth. That's what I like about Kamlesh. One good Kamlesh, you have many good qualities. But one of your best qualities, I know Kamlesh will never BS me. You know what I'm saying. Kamlesh, I've never seen him. No BS with Kamlesh. If you're wrong, he'll tell you. On your face. If you're right, he'll tell you. That's a great quality. Thank you, Kamlesh. Let's chant Hare Krishna. Always speak the truth and bring the mind and senses under full control. One should hear, glorify and meditate upon the wonderful transcendental activities of the Lord. One should specifically become absorbed in the appearance, activities, qualities, and holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I was just reading the other day, it was a class I gave recently. It was my Chaitanya Charitamrita class last Sunday. Prabhupada writes, natural attraction for hearing a particular lila or pastime of God indicates your constitutional position. Think about that. So ask yourself, what lila or pastime do you have a natural inclination? So be honest with yourself. Prabhupada says that gives you some glimpse into your original position. Think about it. I think about it and I go, jai. Thank you, Prabhupada, for such a nice meditation. Thus inspired, one should perform all one's daily activities as an offering to the Lord. Sounds like Bhagavad Gita. Yat karoshi, yat ashnasi, yat jahosi, dadasi yat, yat tapasyasi kaunteya, tat karushva madarpanam. Sometimes I say in the high schools and colleges, Bhagavad Gita is Krishna's rap song. Sarvadamman. Yes, that it would be the best rap song. Not this killing cops and raping women and all this other nonsense, these crap rappers. No, there should be transcendental rap. Simply rapping Bhagavad Gita. One should perform all daily activities as an offering to the Lord. One should perform sacrifice, charity, and penance exclusively for the Lord's satisfaction. Similarly, one should chant only those mantras which glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all one's religious activities should be performed as an offering to the Lord. Whatever one finds pleasing or enjoyable, one should immediately offer to the Supreme Lord. And even one's wife, children, home, and very life air, one should offer at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You'll see many bhajans by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He sings like that. Arpilun, that Manasa Deho Geho, has the same purport. He is giving everything, surrendering everything to the Lord. One who desires one's ultimate self-interest should cultivate friendship with those persons who have accepted Krishna as the Lord of their life. So there's the kind of friend you're looking for. Look for that person who accepts Krishna as their God. How many of you accept Krishna as your supreme God of all other gods? Then I want to hang out with you. You are my BFF. You know what that means? Best friend forever. One should further develop an attitude of service toward all living beings. One should especially try to help those in the human form of life, and among them, especially those who accept the principles of religious behavior. Among religious persons, one should especially render service to the pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the glories of the Lord. Do we do that in this group? Do we do that? This process is most purifying. Huh. This is why you should come to these programs. It's purifying. As devotees thus develop their loving friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. It has been my experience. I've been doing these programs since 1994. By the end of the day, I feel very, very good. How about you? I would think you do, because many of you keep coming back. Right? And some of you are trying to find, when can I get my date? Yes, very good. They feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. By thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. The devotees of the Lord constantly discuss the glories of the Personality of Godhead among themselves. Sounds like Bhagavad Gita, the second of Chatushloki. Bodhayantak parasparam. Dwarkadish, you know the whole verse? Please. No, just that one. Yeah. That's the other one. But this one, where the devotees are discussing amongst themselves. That's the second one. Very good. They remind one another of Krishna's qualities and pastimes. In this way, by their devotion to the principles of Bhakti Yoga, the devotees please the Personality of Godhead, who takes away from them everything inauspicious. That is the real meaning of Hari. Everybody say, He only takes away that which is inauspicious. Many people I know, they are afraid to chant Krishna's name because they think, oh, if I chant Krishna's name, he's Hari. He's going to take my house, my car, my... No! What is he going to take away? Everything inauspicious. Now, if it happens to be your car, okay, then he's going to take it away. If it's your bank balance, yes. If it's inauspicious. So make sure your house, your car, your family, your bank balance is auspicious, not inauspicious. Being purified of all impediments, the devotees awaken to pure love of God, and thus, even within this world, their spiritualized bodies exhibit symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, such as standing of the bodily hairs on end. Having achieved love of Godhead, the devotees sometimes cry out, Hari, everybody!
Hari.
No, cry out!
Hari.
One more!
Hari.
One more!
Hari.
Very good. The devotees sometimes cry out, absorbed in thought of the infallible Lord. Sometimes they laugh, feel great pleasure, speak out loud to the Lord, dance, or sing. Dwarkadish Das, would you accept the service of leading the kirtan for the arti tonight? We want you to do that. All in favor, say Hari Bol. So we want you, Dwarkadish Das, to get everybody dancing and singing by your melodious vibration of pure bhakti. Such devotees, having trance, and you'll have two mridanga players to support you. Because I see we have two drums. We have three drums. Dwarkadish, is that enough? Three drums? Or should I call for more? Four. Now we got four. Ah, very good. Surround sound. Sometimes, having transcended material conditioned life, the devotees imitate the unborn supreme by acting out his pastimes. Do you sometimes do dramas? Yes, sometimes. In Laguna Beach, they do dramas sometimes. Very good. And sometimes, achieving his personal audience, they remain peaceful and silent. Thus, learning the science of devotional service and practically engaging in the devotional service of the Lord, the devotee comes to the stage of love of Godhead. And by complete devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, everyone say,
Narayan.
The devotee easily crosses over the illusory energy, Maya, which is extremely difficult to cross. We did it, Kamlesh. We did the chapter. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra, please. One more time, please. So Meena, get ready to do your bhajan, and that means get your assistants to do the offering. I want to do a short kirtan, and then Meena will chant. Only if you can keep beat. Don't slow down. I don't mind, but you gotta keep beat. Do you have your pujari getting the offering ready?
Hari Haraye Namaha Bolo. Hari Haraye Namaha.
Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopala Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Go Hari Haraye Namaha.
When I'm done, I give you
Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha.
Raise your hands.
Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha.